Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Claudia, aka Miss Copywriter, and today we are joined by Katie Tippings, an SAP functional consultant, and we are going to talk a little bit about her journey, how she got into tech, kind of the things that she might have stumbled upon along her journey into tech and into SAP, and then we'll wrap at the end with a little bit of parting advice and wisdom. So Katie, just wanted to say welcome and thank you for coming on.
Thank you. And I want to say welcome back. I don't know why.
<It's>
Yeah, welcome.
So we just wanted to understand maybe a little bit, if you could tell our audience a little bit about how you came into the tech space and then into SAP specifically.
Okay. So I'm actually an economics graduate.
Awesome.
Okay. And so I tried to do the typical, you know, work for PricewaterhouseCoopers, live in that big four dream. Mm-hmm. It turned into a nightmare after 5 months. So I was kind of like a self-assessment tax person. So I was just like, you know, typing in people's tax figures, very boring. And then I fell into this role that was called business analyst. Mm-hmm. It turned out it was an SAP project, so it was a greenfield project. So greenfield is, you know, completely fresh, brand new to SAP. Mm-hmm. I went in the data team as a data coordinator, and that was just amazing. So I was there for a year and a half. That was in like a steelworks, so it was really cool as well because it was all supply chain. So just seeing the whole process and like how each process replicated to a part of the computer system. And being in the data team, you saw it all together. So I kind of knew after a year and a half, I didn't want to do data as such, but I kind of like be a functional. So data was the heart of everything. So then I was like, oh, which module would work for myself? I thought finance, because apparently economics background, you're natural for finance. Later into my career, I did FICA, so it was contract accounting, but I also have done collections management, which is financial supply chain management, and I've done tax revenue management. It's a lot more fun when you build tax. Let me tell you that now. So you think tax is boring, when you start building that system, you start collecting that debt and stuff, like it is nothing more rewarding than that. So like it flipped the whole tax thing around. I was just like, wow, that letter that you gave to me.
Absolutely. Now, if we can, because I know some of the listeners might not know, can you go a little bit into, you don't have to go too much, but a little bit into what SAP is as, okay. I mean, I know what it is, you know what it is, but what SAP is as an ERP or Enterprise Resource Planning System, mm-hmm. as an application?
Yeah, no problem. So I don't know why, right? So SAP is so massive. It is like this big elephant in the room that no one sees. But is there, let me tell you now, it's there. So how we all have like Apple and iPhone has just taken over the world. Mm-hmm. SAP have done that for businesses. So basically, it's a computer system for your whole business. So that's why it's called an Enterprise Resource Planning.
Planning. Mm-hmm.
Changes.
Yeah.
Sorry, the acronym changes year on year. And as you can tell, it doesn't really matter. So if you want to put it in, it don't matter about the name. No, but it's just, it's whatever, you know. So for example, finance, you'd have your own finance software. Procurement, you'd have your procurement software. You know, you do reporting, so, you know, BW. And it's just anything a business does, that's a good system for it. Because when you put it all manually on paper, so for example, you know, like accountants, they do month end and year end and everyone hates it. Well, in SAP now is like, boom.
Yeah.
That's how brilliant technology is. That's just it. SAP or Oracle, we go with SAP. Yeah.
Right. And as far as how, so you kind of came into it by happening, right? It was a project that you were able to go on, came in on the data side, but then you switched almost a couple years in to on a more functional role. Can you talk a little bit about what your role looks like now from a functional standpoint so we can get an understanding of kind of your day-to-day as a consultant?
Yeah. So I'll give you background, right? So I'm a lead functional consultant, right? So that's why I brushed my shoulder off, because a lead functional consultant means you actually, yes, I'm trusted to own a solution all by myself.
So you have a team.
No, I'm like the whole team. So I'm doing a quality management solution mm-hmm. for an aerospace company at the moment. When I first came in, obviously, you know, you're just an analyst. Right. So people tell you what to do. Now, my day to day is that I will work with the customer. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite lucky. And as SAP goes along, everything's getting more standard. So I have a template solution, mm-hmm. which is all best practices. The best practices means that it's just all standard. You get it straight out of the box. Right. And in SAP, it's called Zed. Everything's customized. That means when you want to change SAP to fit a business requirement. So I will take to the business. I'll be like, okay, this is my template. This is the QM template. And I'll walk them through each area where the functionality is. I will then ask them, okay, so how is your business process? And then we will do, you know, a fit gap. So what parts of the solution works and what part there is a gap. And if there is a gap, then we'd have to look at building a customized, so more like the Zed thing,
right,
solution. And then so no one really knows what a functional consultant does. We're not developers.
Yeah.
Okay. But we work with the developers. We tell the developers what to do. So when everyone's like, I'm a glorious developer, it's like, no, I don't. It's all good for the developers. But as a consultant, we are like business facing side, but then we configure the system. So we just select Wix functions of functionality. So this is all out of the box stuff, right, which you don't necessarily need that for.
Right.
And then I'll test it, obviously. Like, you have to test it. You can't just go, oh, here you go.
All right, push it into production. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, it's all client facing. I'm really lucky that I have, you know, I own my solution, so I can present the way I want. I can produce the documents the way I want. Mm. And it's allowed me to build a different relationship compared to my other lead consultants, because obviously we have a finance guy, we have an OTC guy, we have a production planner, you know, and all that stuff. And all our methods are very different. Mine is more, I would say I'm a lot transparent, and my main, not that there's anything wrong with them, but my main goal is that I want the customer to understand it. So I will explain it very simple. I do not use buzzwords. If I've walked away and they don't understand it completely, I personally, it's going to be harder later on in the line. So I give all like training materials straight up front, and I bring them on board where other people, you don't need to do that as a consultant because you have the knowledge, but I like to transfer all my knowledge, and then everything, it's just easier.
Yeah.
It's questions. Yeah. They trust me. I trust them. We all smile. We get along.
Now, when you kind of hinted a little bit at some of your other potential type of consultant teammates, mm-hmm. do you work in a group? So it's not just you, obviously you're a functional lead, but mm-hmm. do you work in a group where, I guess, what's the dynamics of that group look like? Or are you alone, so to speak, on this particular aerospace project?
Yeah, so we all work in a group. So we work together because obviously, like, my part of the solution, so I'm quality. So quality integrates with all the other areas. So mine integrates. So I have to work quite closely with three other teams because that's where the quality fits in to make sure it's all okay. So obviously, you know, you have to work with your teammates because this is a solution you're building all together. So you need to make sure it fits. But once we do our requirements, you can work quite solely and separately as well. So we're on client site 3 days, but now that we've done all the hard part, like getting all the requirements, doing the documentation, they sign it off, they understand it, they feel comfortable, that we work from home a lot more. But we obviously got our weekly calls to make sure we're all aligned. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you know, we're moving into test right now, and obviously we can't start testing unless the finance guy creates the company structure. So we all gotta, like, you know, keep up to date. And for me, because I'm quality, I need, you know, people to purchase in to start creating those PRs, posting goods receipts, and all. And then I need sales to do their stuff, and I need production planning. So, you know, it's good. We all work together.
Yeah. Now, as far as the group makeup, because one of the things, and I've talked to past guests about, just in terms of being a woman in tech and what that looks like from a team standpoint, potentially from an, you know, after hours for work standpoint, what does it look like for you as a woman in tech, being a functional lead on an SAP project? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I'm like, usually, like when we have a meeting with all the business, like I'm like the one female in the room out of 20 guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as a female, especially being a lead, and I'm young, so I'm the youngest by 10 to 15 years as well. Mm-hmm. So I bring a very good A game, and right. hence why my method is probably a lot more get them to understand, explain it simply, so they know I know my job and they're comfortable. We're a lot of the, and especially I'm in aerospace as well, so that's building planes. That's a very male dominated industry again. Right. My other consultants, because they're older, mm-hmm. you know, and they, you know, guys can connect as well. Not saying there's a bias, but you know, it is different.
Yeah.
And you know, they can do their own flair. Where with me, you know, and don't get me wrong, like because I'm quite bubbly and I'm more positive as well. Mm-hmm. The CIO absolutely, you know, he pretty much loves me. He's just like, he uses me as an example. See, if you do your work, I'd leave you alone. I think because, I don't know why, maybe it's because I smile a lot and I explain it simply and they're like, oh, well, she wouldn't bullshit me. You
know? Yeah.
I'm okay. But yeah, in the evenings is really, so I don't necessarily go to the pub that much because I'm quite fast, but I am really lucky. My project manager, he's ex-army.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say I'm your typical female. I wouldn't, because obviously I'm a functional as well. So a lot of females would come into SAP and they do more project management roles
or like right.
admin roles. And, you know, so it all depends on your personality as well, yeah. I'd say. But yeah, I'm quite one of the guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I probably swear and tell them to F off more than in the group, you know. Yeah. So it's good. I'm handling it. It is quite, because you know, some people look at you, you get a bias anyway because you're young. Like if you're owning a solution and the guy you're speaking to is 50, you're like, you know, you're gonna have like, don't tell me what to do, kid, you know.
Right. So
you've got to prove yourself whether you're a male or female. But it is tough, and you have got to be a strong female to be able to power through, I would say.
And have you been on any projects where you feel that you being a female almost comes across as a disadvantage, that you might be able to share something in the past, whether it's coming up in tech, so, or if it's really just on a particular project, has there been something that maybe has played to your disadvantage that you would want to share?
Yeah. So I've had sometimes, so for example, at one company that I worked at, I did have some, I would say negative experiences. Where one day I would like to go on stage and, you know, and when I can't be black booked, then I'd like to go on stage and like, you know, let it all out. But for now, I'll keep it. If you know what I mean. Like when I'm so far up in my career that I can't be. But it is tough because sometimes it's whoever is in power. So, you know, you've got to remember, right? When you have negative people who are managers, whether they're male or female, they can make your life difficult, and it's never a reflection on you, it's a reflection on them. So I've even brought in my lunch boxes to work and I go gym. I've had really negative experiences where people's tried to like break that and make fun and quite bullied about it. But in my new company is very different. We're very, you know, it's an entrepreneur spirit. It can be, sometimes you will get the typical old school, you know, at my other companies, you'll get the old school project manager, mm-hmm. you know, who will have a bit of bias against females, which is fair enough, you know, like, I get it. But it's down to you as a person to show that you can rise to the challenge. So, for example, one guy wouldn't include me in a scrum team or take me to client meetings. But then when I was functional lead on a project and he came along as a project manager temporary, he was blown away by how good I performed. And then he gave me feedback to help me then build a promotion case. So you will have biases, but you need to step your game up and just show them that, you know, you're a boss.
Exactly.
You just gotta be like, yeah, that's fine. I can understand she was crap. You know, I'm a G. So.
That's Yeah, I mean, you're right. There are going to be times where you're on projects where it's not totally in your favor. And yeah, you do have to just, like you said, show up, be present, and show out if you need to in a positive way, but show out. You're just as capable. I mean, don't let them tell you no, because no is not an answer.
No is definitely not an answer. And like a lot of the time, for example, how I've got around it, that I've created opportunities for myself. So for example, right, project managers, it depends what type of project manager you have, but you know, if you're a functional and you're in the weed, you can see, right, well, part of the solution is going to be behind. If you know your stuff, you will be like, okay, if this falls behind, for example, an interface is where it goes from SAP to another system, you know, like an app where you want to call information, stuff like that. So for example, if I want to get information about my bank balances, that is actually an API.
Yeah.
Just give it. And so I noticed, I was like, okay, right, if this falls behind, this needs to be first priority. If that falls behind, right, then that's going to affect that other team and the business is not going to be happy because they're scheduled for Christmas. I've gone to them, I was like, listen, we need to prioritize this, even though it wasn't even my place to do it. And thanks to that and like showing him that, it just gained that respect and thank you, because obviously I wouldn't get kicked for it. He would get kicked massively for it. So right. I think just you doing a bit more outside your role, being a bit proactive. And obviously, if it's your job and you care and you really care about the solution, you wouldn't want it to go behind, whether it would be in your favor or not anyway. So
right.
Since you've got a passion, you're fine.
Absolutely. And as far as, because I want to talk a little bit about what you do outside of the consulting hours, just because we have activities and we have lives outside of work. Can we touch just a little bit on some of the outlets that you use? As you know, obviously you're busy in the tech space doing your SAP functional consulting as a lead, but what do you do sometimes just as Katie, just to chill, just to relax, or maybe get hyped up? Or I mean, just a little bit of what you do after hours. What's Katie after hours look like?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's fun, Katie, anyway. So I wake up around 4 o'clock in the morning. I love looking at Gary Vee. So he, Gary Vaynerchuk, so he is an entrepreneur, but he has utilized tech in such a way that's built his personal brand massively. And it's just understanding, like as a tech consultant, I don't care if you're an SAP, Oracle, Microsoft, whatever, this is important tech. And I think a lot of time people, oh, it's just social media, but it's important. We may not like it, but we can't stop it.
Right.
So that's why I kind of like Gary Vee, because he shows how he utilized a tool to his advantage. So I love seeing, because obviously blockchain, now this technology has come out. It's only came out because of entrepreneurs using cryptocurrency, you know, and then consultants pick it up years later and it's blockchain. I like to see as a well-rounded consultant where it came from, how they use it, what was the advantages, because that will give you an edge as a consultant anyway.
Right.
You know, and also I'm big into my fitness. So I'll work out in the morning, big on mindset. I do like daily podcasts, daily vlogs, daily workouts, because in my job, you can be in the office 16 hours and like you, I have that high level of accountability every day I post on social media, because if I don't show up, I want someone to be like, oh, she ain't showing up. Oh, she talked all this and she ain't showing up. Yeah. You know, because it's so easy in a job as a consultant, but I love it. So I'm on two projects at the moment, which because you know, on a project, you get peaks and troughs. So,
right.
And they're like, oh, you get low. I don't like low periods. I like like high intense periods. Yeah. So I'm on two, but I'm quite lucky again, because one's a template for like private cloud. So it's kind of like on premise, but the other one is a public cloud. So it's like, you know, just standard. So as long as you're willing to do the work, you can pick it up, you know? Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I love to just keep learning, educating, and I'm in a company where entrepreneurship is such like the core of it. It's one of those core values that it's allowed me to grow. So even in the company, I do health and fitness, you know, ranging events and stuff like that. So it's just really nice because it's like you can be completely yourself, and it's rare to find.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I could see that. I mean, I know I followed you on Instagram. Obviously, that's how we connected. But just while I see you posting, I actually saw your post today too. You guys can go check her out, My Hit Life. But we'll post all her socials below the interview. But one of the things that I admire, and you talked about it today in your post, is just the fact that, hey, yes, you see these pictures of me, it's because I want to be held accountable. And I think that it's too often we can just be complacent, right? It's, like you said, especially in consulting, the amount of hours that you put in behind a computer screen, you can just, you know, and so the fact that even from a social aspect, you're like, hey, you know what? I'm still going to do this. I'm still going to put it in. And you guys, look at this. I'm posting today because I want you to see that I'm doing this. It's something that I think volumes. It does, right? Yeah. I mean, do you find that, having that type of regimen in terms of working out daily, are you finding that then gives you more energy to do your, you know, the SAP consulting job? Or I'm sure it has some type of contribution factor to it. Like, as far as the intensity, because you do some intense stuff. I've watched. I was just like, okay, you go, girl. You got that. I'll sit over here and cheer you on. But how do you find that incorporating your accountability and working out plays into you, your tech side of your consulting?
Yeah, because obviously, like, I make sure I get such a good morning routine in, and I like listen to, you know, the Life Coach School. I listen to the Life Coach School. So mm-hmm. I work on my mindset every day, and like motivational speeches, and I really push my, and I eat healthy as well. So I food prep in my room, which can be challenging, obviously, you know, cooker and stuff, but I do it. So I eat healthy. I will, because otherwise I can be a bit aggressive, and like, I think this is why I'm quite different to my other consultants, because it's so normal. Like, I get £45 a day allowance. That's like $60 that you can spend on food. You can imagine, it is hard to control yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And it is so easy to fall down a slope. And it's not even the fact it's a slope. It's a consultant life. It's so normal that being healthy is actually deemed as quite bad. So before, people would see what I do and post on social media, they're like, well, she got to be rubbish for the job. There's no way that she can do that. Her job. We now, they know I can only perform so well at my job because I do that, and it's why I bring all my energy. And like, I'll walk into a meeting and I will just smile and I will just change the whole energy of the room because I'm so happy and confident. And I can, and it's amazing because it does transfer over. And I think it's made me such a well-rounded consultant. Yeah. For example, one guy, everyone gets really scared of him. And, you know, everyone's just like, oh no. But like, I'll just like, you know, I'll walk over and I'll smile and like, you know, and I'll break down that stranger barrier. Mm-hmm. And I always get along well. So yeah, and obviously, you know, posting every day, it can be difficult because sometimes you just feel damn narcissistic. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's just like, oh yeah, great. This is another picture of me. So sometimes I have to say, I'm like, this is why I do it. And, you know, I was working 8 to 8. So I had 4 hours in the day to work out, and I was working out twice a day. I wanted a food prep. It was so difficult, and it's so easy because in a consultant job, you have all these donuts and these crisp chocolate sweets. You know, that's how they motivate you.
Yeah.
And it is tough because the thing is, you'll be stuck at work, and then obviously you comfort eat because you're stuck at work, and then you just get into this cycle. And a lot of time consultants are quite mentally unhappy, and you can't stop the cycle because you're stress eating. Because I did it. I put on a stone, you know, 14 pounds in like 3 weeks to go in live because you're just living in the office, you know.
Yeah.
And you're obviously just eating chocolate bars. Like, it's after 6, you open up a bottle of cider, you know.
Right.
But now, because I was just like, no, I'm not going to go out like that, you know, this one makes me happy. And I'm so grateful I did it because I've seen it now really pay off when I'm, you know, obviously being a lead and I'm presented to the customer, that my presentation skills are so much better than, because I can transfer the energy what I bring. And I think that's the most important thing. As long as you bring what you want to attract, obviously, if you're scared and you're nervous, then you're going to get eaten alive sometimes. I know it sounds bad, but people are waiting for you to fall sometimes.
Right, absolutely.
You know, you're a consultant. You're kind of like, consultants, you know, you're just getting paid a crap ton of money sometimes. And like, you know, you need to bring the knowledge to, you know, and people like speak with all these, and even sometimes I'm there as a consultant, and I'm just like, yeah, I wouldn't like you either, you know. It's just talk in like different languages and stuff. So,
right.
Definitely, like, staying healthy in a job is hard, and the accountability's kept me. So I created my vlog when I only had 4 hours in the day, like a daily vlog, and I was like, I'm doing this. This is my work pattern. I'm going to do these workouts. If I do not do them, please, you can chat my stories. Please message me, because I needed that support. And without the support, yeah, I wouldn't be showing up. And it's, and you've got to create your own work-life balance as a consultant. If you want to be a successful consultant, you've got to create your own time. Because let me tell you now, but no, if you don't take a lunch, then you don't take a lunch. That's the norm.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
absolutely. Yep.
That's norm. It's like, use a sandwich at your desk if you're lucky. You know, it is tough. But because right. I've got my food there, I'm happy, I'm fed, I'm eating well, and if I want a donut, I won't take that work. I will literally go out after work and get a Krispy Kreme, because the fact is, as soon as you start doing it at work, it'll become a pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's how I know, you know, and it's why I gotta bring food, because obviously I'll go to the vending machine, and yeah, you know, now you can use your card on them, which is so sneaky.
I know.
You know what I mean? Before, I just want to bring money, and now it's the card where you can pop that. Oh, but that's great.
Right,
I'm
like,
oh, first chocolate, you know, someone give me a chocolate.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, and you can see, like I said, you can see from your feed just how much energy it does give you. And the fact that you're able to translate that into what you're bringing to the table for your clients, I think is just something commendable, and it's really good. So just to, so we can get a little bit for sometimes we have young ladies who watch this, maybe women that are interested in getting into the tech space. What's some advice that you would offer them if they were interested in becoming an SAP consultant or going into consulting in the tech space? What's a piece of advice that you would offer them?
Yeah, so I would say if you're a business graduate or a law graduate or anything like that, like, you don't have to do the typical boring job. So a lot of the time, you know, we don't know what we want to be, and it's okay. That is fine. Don't worry about it. It will come. And like, when you're, you know, when you're going through college, that they call it in the US, and like university in the UK, you know, we just like, okay, like for me, I did an economics degree. It was a safe choice. I guaranteed I was going to get a good job because it was a good, I didn't like it. And, you know, and then you go through all these good companies and you look at job descriptions. You don't necessarily even know what it means. And that's fine. You don't have to do IT degree to get into consulting. And in the UK as such, you get the best advantage. And I don't know whether it's the same in the US, but you should always go on a graduate program, because they are going to heavily invest in you. They're going to do training. I never did a graduate program, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They are going to give you training. If you go with a smaller company, you will actually get hands-on experience very quickly. But if you go for one of the big fours, you will probably do admin for some time, and it is a lot more rat race. You have got to climb up a ladder. Definitely look at going for a big consultancy. 3 years on your CV, and then go for a smaller one, okay? Because smaller ones, you're not treated as a number. You can, you know, you can mix it around a lot more. And don't worry what area, you know, for example, what area you go in. Like, I've done data, I've done finance, I've done SD, I've done P2P, I've done like, don't worry about it. I'm still figuring out what I want to do now. And quite frankly, I don't intend to settle down. So if you're a good consultant and you're willing to learn and you like sink or swim, so the job I never, ever, ever wanted was to do the same thing every day. So if you don't want to do the same thing every day, then tech is for you. Like, get on those projects. Like, you're going to love it. You go away in hotels. I don't know if you like it or not. But for me, I love it. I never touched the Hilton before I joined tech. And now I've probably stayed there like 300 nights. And they pay for your meals. You know what I mean? And like, if you go for some companies, you can fly abroad. Like, it's just like, it's the best. And And then you go on one project and you may meet some dickheads, but then you go on another one and you may meet some fun people. You know what I mean? You're never trapped, you know?
Right.
Longest term pain is usually a year on a project. So it's a lot more fun. It's constantly learning. Remember, you're young, you know?
Yeah.
Just get in there and try and get certified. If you don't, it's not the end of the world, but it's a fun thing to do if you're a graduate and you join a company. They'll give you it. Just have some fun. Go take a free trip somewhere. That's what you want to do. They say, you know, ours get sent off to Belgium for like 6 weeks or India for 6 weeks. Just take it, have fun.
Yeah, learn something, take it from it.
Yeah. Go see a new country. Go eat some nice food.
Absolutely. Well, Katie, I want to say thank you for joining us today. You guys will put down her Instagram handles and any other social medias we can follow you on. Definitely, we're going to link that below. Again, if you guys want to hit rewind on this, because Katie definitely dropped some really, really valuable insights on what you need to do if you're coming out of university or college, some of the experiences that she had. So hit rewind, listen to this again, maybe download it for later. But Katie, again, I just want to say thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing what it means to be an SAP Functional Lead Consultant. So we appreciate you. So guys, go to www.misscopywriter.com/WIT and you can listen to Katie and a number of other lovely ladies #WomenInTech interviews. So Katie, thank you.
Thank you. It's been lovely. Bye. And you can be fun and be a consultant, as you can tell.
Absolutely. Katie, we'll catch you soon. Okay, bye.
Bye.